somehow you managed, all of you, and I mean you in the collective sense, to put together an amazing virtual program. Can you say a little bit about how that happened? Was it Asador's idea? Did somebody come up with this, or was it just pretty obvious with everybody from the start?
No, there was nothing obvious about it, and it also was the most complete team effort I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Everybody contributed, everybody had ideas and learned things from all over the world. And so, no, it evolved. It took us a while, but we are super pleased with how this one turned out. One thing that I've said a lot in my international speaking, which curiously has happened more and more mm-hmm. during this period, is one wants to have a signature. One wants to do something that really says Aspen. And what we came up with was the idea that the focus would be on student and teacher interaction on our educational mission, and that we would go for that first and foremost, that people who wish to hear a great orchestra concert can go get the Berlin Philharmonic Archives, and that's great. The chance to hear Elaine Duvas coaching oboe students, or Renee Fleming and Patrick Summers coaching boy students, that's going to be unique for us.
There were two things that stood out that made it feel like Aspen very much, and one of them is exactly what you talked about. I felt as I was watching the programs that it was that combination of great artists putting on concerts, as it were, and then great teachers and great students interacting together, and that all of that was visible, just as it is on a regular Aspen Music Festival season, except all of it having to be done virtually. And then the second thing that was striking was that it had a sense of presence about it. These were live, that these were not archives, as you were talking about.
Thank you. That's a great point. We did decide from the beginning that whereas we have a really sensational sound archive going back to 1949, basically, that we would do everything new, and everything would be done for us for this summer. We had many, many offers from great artists saying, I'm doing this for Covent Garden. Would you like to do it with us? And we said, no, we're just going to do everything for Aspen. Mm-hmm. Then as much live as possible. And that turned out, to be a learning experience for all of us. One of my colleagues who runs a great orchestra said in a conference call I was on a few weeks ago, if I had wanted to be a TV producer, I would be a TV producer.
You're a TV producer whether you want to or not, Alan.
Exactly, but now we're all doing it. We did feel that the genuine experience to every extent, we've had live chats, whether on Zoom or Facebook, available so that the audience can say things. By the way, this is maybe a weird parenthesis, but over the years, I have resisted every single time anyone said, can we have our iPads in the tent and can we be chatting about the concert in the tent? And I said, no, and also no. But I have found that it really is pretty much fun when you're listening to Andreas Heflecker's, sensational Hammerklavier, which was pre-recorded, by the way, so it wasn't actually live, to be chatting with people. By the way, not that that will come into the tent.
Right. Well, that actually brings me to the next question. What do you think you might bring into, maybe not the tent, but what might you integrate into the Aspen Music Festival and school programming or what's being made available to audiences? The first thing that comes to mind is that everybody in the world had the opportunity to hear Andreas Heflecker if they wanted to. They didn't have to go to the expense. And I mean, it's a pilgrimage for many people to get up to Aspen. Do you feel like you may want to offer more of that kind of thing for people who can't make it up here?
Yeah, so two big things that we're pursuing based on our the idea that we should have more video. And mm-hmm. We've always done sound archives, but we've never done video archives. And thus we should have that ability to broadcast. And then the other has to do with preparation for concerts, things that can be online as a resource to the audience in advance of a live concert. Mm-hmm. We are very secure in the idea that the live concert is the thing, and that is what we do, and that's what we'll always do. But how can we use a digital experience to enhance that? And we're going to really be thinking about that.
There's another thing that both you and I have been thinking about, and many of the artists that I've interviewed over the course of this summer have been thinking about and wanting to talk about. The Black Lives Matter movement that came, that just exploded onto the scene at the same time or just right after the pandemic began, has really caused a lot of us to do some real thought. I wonder what thought, maybe you could share some of your thoughts about the challenges that we face as classical music lovers, that the Western European classical tradition was originally intended for the wealthy, for the patrons of the arts, and yet this is not a time where I think that's appropriate, that this is a time of democratization or more universal quality to everything that is the best in art.
Yeah, interesting. It matters a lot how one frames this, and maybe my frame is slightly different from yours, but I will agree that, first of all, our art form is the creation of a Western European tradition and is a creation primarily from people of wealth. But those people of wealth were not creating it for themselves. I think that's a nuance that I'd like to put on it,
mm-hmm.
is that it has always been something of extreme importance and value to a larger public. However, I think, you know, the Aspen Music Festival, race is our responsibility,
mm-hmm.
because the classical music world in its history in the U.S. has specifically discriminated and has been racist. And there's just no denying that. And so we feel as though we should look at that history and look at our history and think about it, and then be, as one says, anti-racist. And so we should take actions going forward that will ensure that this is not 50 years from now that people don't say, and then they did nothing, they didn't even care about it. It's not 50 years from now for the history to say, and then, you know, people really took some action. And I don't want to mention your age or my age. We have seen a lot of the civil rights movement in the U.S. and perhaps been part of it, hoped we were contributing something. But this moment, to me, is different and is very powerful. I think it really is a time when organizations in the cultural and educational sphere should take a stand and should do something. And so that's what we're committing to.
Now, in some ways, you have a good base to build from. As the Aspen Music Festival and school, your student base, what is it, 60 countries that are represented in a typical summer by the student body? And that,
yeah, 100. 100
countries. 100 countries. So yeah. Talk about diversity. I mean, you've already got that in the student body, which is fabulous. Do you have any ideas of what more you can do? What next steps possibly could be taken for the issues of racism, of sexism, of all the other things that have been exposed so profoundly in the Black Lives Matter movement?
Well, what we want is for this to be organic to the organization. We have engaged a really brilliant consultant, and so we'll be speaking with the board, with former students, with faculty, with staff, with our public, seeing what feels right. I would not wish to be in the position to be prescribing it myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should be something that's organic. I can already guarantee you, because we were already engaged in this, that we're looking at creating a new repertoire by composers of color so that the future of classical music isn't as white as the past. I think that's an an obvious choice, and it's a choice we've already made.
And then finally, one last question, which is, you put together a magnificent Beethoven 250th year program. And after the Aspen Music Festival had to shut down the tent and Harris Hall, et cetera, I could hardly even look at it, but there was a lot of Beethoven on that program.
Yep.
What are your plans for next year? He'll still be just 250 years old next year.
Yeah, we're gonna give Beethoven a mulligan on this, and you're gonna see about 90% of this 2020 season coming back in 21. Both the Beethoven and the focus on women in classical music, which was going to be a huge part of the 2020 summer, and all of those works we're going to import into 2021.
Probably the most optimistic thing I heard from the people I interviewed may have come from Wu Han, the pianist who's been here many times, and she just said, we're creative people. We are going to use our creativity to get through this. And it's obvious that the people, there's a lot of creative energy around the Aspen Music Festival and school. So I want to congratulate you on not only surviving, but on finding a way to thrive creatively in an almost impossible situation this year.